producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the American Family Farmer, the weekly radio program for the small independent farm owners and those interested in how your food gets from the farm to your table. Here's your host, lifelong family farmer, Doug Steffen.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen here every week to go over some of the things going on family farms in America, problems for which there are solutions. With a lot of the people that are very active in the family farm movement, I happen to be a dairy farmer from Framingham, Massachusetts. In addition to being a broadcaster all my life, all my adult life anyway, I've been around cows and I've been around farms and worked the farm that I own for the past, well, I've owned the farm since 1971 on my own, and have raised hundreds and hundreds of Jersey cattle, have loved the real world of the farm today, even though it's very frustrating. So what we try to do in this program is bring in people who have experience in various facets of family farming. The family farmers themselves are the program's basic drive, people who run ag businesses, the locavore food movement, people who are interested in that. And more I'm hearing from people, and you can send me an email if you'd like. It's doug@dougsteffen.com. I hear more and more from people, especially last week we added, I think, 12 or 13 radio stations to the folks who are carrying. This program is only on for an hour, but it has impact in rural communities, farm communities, because we're getting at things that most people, even the farm broadcasters, who in many instances, sadly, are so tied to the big farm economic interests that they don't go down the same road that I do. That's why there's a need to talk about the kind of agriculture that we have going on, what's happening to our old roots, that sort of thing. So it's with that in mind that I have invited Wes King, who is a policy specialist at the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, to speak with us this week. Mr. King has worked on sustainability and food policy issues for the past 8 years. He staffs the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition's Marketing, Food System, and Rural Development Committees. Spent the last 6 years as this the Sustainable Agricultural Coalition. He's worked in Illinois for the Stewardship Alliance. He works on food access, farmers markets, Worklands conservatory policies, conservation stuff. And so as we look at what needs to be done in the regulatory environment that we face here, Mr. King, how do you work your way through it from your point of view? The National Sustainable Agricultural Coalition is an alliance of a lot of people who are advocates for what? What's really the bottom line here? Why would people be interested to know what you can do?
Yeah, well, first let me just say thanks for having me on the show here today. And it's a pleasure to be on a radio show that I think shares so much affinity to the work we do at the Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. And just kind of to give you a broad understanding of the coalition is that, you know, we're an alliance of over 100 member groups throughout the country, unified by our goal of promoting a more a friendly farm system when it comes to small, mid-sized farms, family farms, natural resource protection, rural economic development, but then also just, you know, on the, you mentioned locavore side, making sure consumers have access to, you know, sustainable, healthy, nutritious food and farm products. And through that, we've got a very grassroots, consensus-focused coalition here, where we work throughout the year with our member groups to really develop the positions and the ideas that then we take here in D.C. We're based in Washington, D.C. We take those positions, those ideas that are coming from the grassroots, from the real family farms, from the people who are trying to produce food in more sustainable ways when it comes to their local community and the environment. We take those ideas and we develop them into policies and positions and work here in D.C. to make sure that those voices, those issues have a seat at the table, trying to give a level playing field for sustainable and organic farmers in a system that is often, as I think you've alluded to, dominated by some of the larger, more corporate interests Well, I sometimes like to think. Yeah, well, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm not oftentimes as specific as perhaps I need to be when it comes to Monsanto and when it comes to Cargill and ADM and Dow and DuPont and the others. There are five or six of these companies that are trying to not only control the food supply here in our country, but around the world, and it isn't working well for the advancement of the family farmer for the most part. I mean, there are some things that are put out by these companies that are certainly good by definition, but they're also the amount of money that they put into the system through their campaign contributions. I mean, let's not be naive. If you look at the average congressional candidate for either election or re-election, especially the ones that are already in office, at this point, over $450,000 on average has gone into, in this election cycle, into the coffers, the campaign coffers of these people, not only in the Senate, but the House as well. So if you look at the amount of money that's going in from the people who are on the ag committees, various ag committees in the House and the Senate, you see hundreds of millions of dollars going in, and it's coming from these big companies. So, of course, they're going to pay attention to them. And people that are running organizations like yours that represent the real farmers, they don't have a chance. And that's what I rail against a lot, and I think you're just underscoring it here. So if we'll pause for a moment, we'll come back to this. I want to help you support and engage the people that can help you the most, and that's why we have Wes King here from the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition on the American Family Farmer.
The savings are heating up at Lumber Liquidator's Spring Flooring Kickoff Sale. Our stores are now packed with the latest trends from our new catalog, like the hot look of gray flooring. This week, get 20% off reclaimed gray woodlook tile. And check out popular hand-scraped styles like High Sierra Pine. Or choose from other varieties of solid hardwood, all up to 20% off. Get great deals on over 35 styles of bamboo from $149 and more from just 49 cents. Plus, 18-month special financing. For the best deals on over 400 floors, visit Lumber Liquidator's .com to find a store near you today.
Have you ever wondered what life would be like without diabetes? I'm Jerry Mathers. I was the Beaver on TV's Leave It to Beaver, and I used to be just like you. See, my doctor said I only had 3 to 5 years to live. That meant I wasn't going to see or hold my grandbabies. I knew I needed to do something about my diabetes and get healthy. I wish I had a plan all written out for me back then. Now there is one. A fast-track system called the Diabetes Solution Kit that can get your blood pressure and sugars under control. Some say it worked for them in just 30 days or less. Best of all, no drugs. It's easy to follow, too. If I can get my diabetes under control, you can, too. Here's how to get your copy of the Diabetes Solution Kit today.
If you'd like to normalize your blood sugar and stop taking your diabetes medication completely with your doctor's approval, go to diabetic11.com for your free video. That's diabetic11.com. Reverse your diabetes in as little as 30 days by going to diabetic11.com now.
A new year often means new goals and dreams. While many people tend to focus on fitness or career goals, there's one area that could use more attention: personal finances. In fact, research shows that over half of Americans feel that their financial planning could use some improvement. Rebecca Barsh with Northwestern Mutual has more.
Like any relationship, creating a fulfilling financial life requires attention, consistency, and communication. If you have a financial plan, don't neglect it. Make a quarterly date to review your plan to make sure it aligns with changing priorities and your resources.
Any other good tips?
Candid conversations with loved ones about important topics like lifestyle goals, retirement, and long-term care are essential to a sound financial strategy. Also, consider reducing your debt and seeking professional guidance to learn about available options to make the most of your money.
For more tips on financial planning, visit NorthwesternMutual.com. That's NorthwesternMutual.com. I'm Bob Thibault for the Consumer Radio Network.
And now, a touching moment while staying in touch with GEICO.
It was a warm summer day. I was just sitting on a porch watching a babbling brook roll by. Then, out of the blue, I got an update from my GEICO app saying my claim had been processed. I felt so connected to nature, to GEICO. I stayed there the whole afternoon until that guy told me to stop trespassing on his porch. Sheesh, what was his problem?
Claim status updates, just a few taps away on the GEICO app.
A continuation now of the conversation. Wes King is here with me on the American Family Farmer. He's a policy specialist at the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, and as such is clear on the relationship that the large and small farm companies, organizations have, and that's where we were talking about congressional input from big versus little. How does that affect what you're trying to do? Is it like swimming against the tide there, Wes, or do you feel like you're making headway?
Well, you know, it definitely could be easier. You know, the elements of it sometimes feel like we're swimming against the tide. But one of the things that we focus on as a coalition that gives us some leverage or, you know, some power when it comes to making headway on getting better policies is that we work really closely with our grassroots organizations and members and helping them build their power as organizations to influence Congress. So that, you know, while a lot of the big players, they have a lot of money, I think we've got more people who are behind what we're working towards in terms of a more sustainable farm system, whether that's farmers or consumers. We've got the people, and if we can mobilize them, we are able to make some headway, and we have made some progress over the years.
One of the things that I maintain when I go speak to groups talking about the future of agriculture, and I want to make this as positive as I can, because this whole idea of helping people is very positive motivation for me anyway, as a farmer who gets frustrated with too much government. There's way too much government getting involved with this foolishness about a waterway as a puddle in your driveway or the dust, the EPA especially. But we've all had stories that we can talk about from regulators who just don't know what they're doing. And it's so frustrating. And then this stuff just snowballs, and you get into circumstances where it seems like the only thing you can do is get a law passed to fix a law that was put into effect that was not well thought out. And you see this happening all. There's so much money involved. There's so many people. Does it ever get like, at the end of the day, you scratch your head and say, wait a minute, what am I doing with my life?
No, I haven't gotten to that point yet. You know, I feel pretty passionate, along with, I think, all the rest of the people here at the coalition about the work we do, so that at the end of the day, when sometimes it does feel like we're beating our heads against a wall, we look at, you know, some of the posters and things we have up on the walls, reminding us of the organizations we work with, the issues that we're here for. And for me, at least, you know, I'm still a young man, but for me, that is one of the things that really, you know, I'm able to rely on the passion of the farmers that we represent and the people who want to, you know, produce sustainable products. That kind of re-energizes us. So I'm able to keep on moving forward. But I definitely feel the sentiment. You know, it's crazy how sometimes a well-meaning idea from, you know, the bureaucracy or someone in government sounds great to them, but within their silo, not seeing the bigger picture and realizing how things snowball. Exactly like you said, it snowballs, and something that was just a small idea that, in terms of a regulation or it sounds good to one person, becomes something that is onerous and burdensome and leaves us all scratching our heads. What?
Well,
why?
That's it, you see. And if we don't get a handle on it and bring people around to realizing what's going on, never mind will we not be the food basket of the world anymore, we're not going to be able in 30 or 40 years to provide enough food to take care of our own country. We are not going in the right direction. Small farmers are being driven off the land. The land's being developed, so more and more people are moving in. And the kind of healthy food that we are used to producing is not going to, talk about sustainable agriculture, it can't be sustained because there's too much pressure being put on the value of the land and the fact that people don't want to stay on the land because there are too many government regulations or regulators coming around to beat on their door. So something certainly that we have to be focused on. We're talking to Wes King from the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition on this week's American Family Farmer.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer here as we're working ourselves into an exciting spring. The weather improving around the country. A lot of places are already starting to till. El Nino is helping a lot of the farmers out west with lots more rain. So hopefully we're going to have a good year as far as production is concerned. We're having a conversation with Wes King, who is the policy specialist at the National Sustainable Agricultural Coalition. Wes, are you a farm kid?
I'm not a farm kid, but I'm a farm country kid. I come from Springfield, Illinois. Grew up kind of on the outskirts of Springfield, Illinois. Spent 10 years in 4-H, Boy Scouts. So I kind of grew up around rural economies and grew up around agriculture. But I never was a farmer myself or my family members, but I've been an avid organic gardener my whole life, taking after my father.
All right, so that's a good start. The president is calling for greater investment in agricultural research. This is the same guy who, when he took office, said that we need to shut down at least half the farms in America and plant trees. Do you remember that, Wes?
I vaguely remember something along those lines.
Yeah. All right. So let's, under the circumstances, greater investment in agricultural research. What is your response? What is your take on this request? What are we researching?
Yeah. So it's one of those questions where, well, on a broad level, that sounds great. You know, one of the things that our organization, along with a lot of people in the ag community, has been saying, you know, we need more investment in agriculture research. It's really been one of those areas that, you know, investment in research can really pay off in long-term impacts. But the question is, what kind of investment? You know, there's been a lot of investment over the last several decades in, you know, biotechnology and things like that, but not as much in classical plant breeding, as well as not so much research into sustainable agriculture practices and the impacts of those in seed production. How do we get better publicly available seeds that are suitable for sustainable agriculture production? And then there's also, you know, a question about what are we breeding? Are we breeding transport ability? Are we breeding seeds and farm products that look really nice and are shelf stable, but really taste like nothing? We want to see more research in things that are going to be tasteful and nutritious. The kind of crops that I think there's this growing movement of small and medium-sized farmers who are trying to grow products not so that they can ship it 500 or 1,000 miles away, but so that they can grow healthy, nutrient-dense, tasty fruits, vegetables, and other farm products that people want to buy, which consumers are asking for it right now. And just really want to make sure that research investment goes in that direction.
And not to help the big agribusinesses that are trying to put the small farmer out of business. See, I don't trust him. I don't trust this. Agricultural research is going on all the time in the ag colleges all around the country. No matter what state you're in, there are good ag schools, and the research continues. So what in the world, in terms of just if you look at fiscal responsibility, if this stuff is going on and we have an $18 trillion budget, why do we have to throw more money into this? There are a lot of great things around. Just let us grow what there is now to grow. Keep the seeds. This administration hasn't had any real. Tom Vilsack, who was former governor of Iowa, who's the Secretary of Agriculture, I've never felt like he really, even though he's from Iowa, like he really gets it. It's more political strategy than it is really working, and that's what you get. I mean, you may have good experiences and good intentions, depending on where you come from, but once you get to Washington, you get into this aura that they have of just feeding the government and feeding the big corporations and literally not feeding the people whose hand is paying the bill. We've sort of sprung on the listeners something that I think is important, agricultural research and the amount of money and where it's going, something that we need to get back to our congressman about and say, okay.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Continuing on now, second half hour of this week's presentation, the American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen here with Wes King from the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. I don't think I'm doing a good job. The National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. I got to sound like a radio announcer. The coalition has publicly expressed concern about a recent decision by the USDA to revoke the grass-fed label. And responses from the grassroots have been varied. Some people expressing outrage, others saying it's not a big deal, or going as far as to say it's a good thing. I want you to comment on this with an eye toward not only this label, the grass-fed label, but the organic label, and in my estimation, the government's watering down of the value of it, thus the effectiveness. It's not really there. What do you think about both those, the grass-fed label and the organic label, Wes?
Sure, yeah. So, you know, this is one of those things that left us kind of scratching our head. After, you know, a number of years this coalition had spent, I think it was back in the late 2000s, it began with the Bush administration developing a grass-fed standard so that when someone said, you know, someone had a USDA label on their meat product that said grass-fed, it meant something. Right. You know, it's you know, when you have labels, you want them to mean something. You need there to be a shared understanding of, okay, if it says this, it means X, Y, and Z. So a lot of work was done by our organization, a number of different groups across the country, over several years to develop this standard. And then sort of suddenly, over the last several months, and then just, you know, I guess the actual announcement came fairly recently, about a month ago, the USDA decided, well, for some reason now they say they didn't have the authority to do that, to create that label. So they were revoking it. And, you know, they said, oh, it's not going to be a big deal. People are still going to come to us and be able to get their own grass-fed labels created and approved. But that means then we could have four or five different grass-fed labels from the USDA, all with different meanings.
So why the hell does the USDA have to give you, you're making your own product. I was selling raw milk at my farm in Massachusetts. I made my own label. Yeah, there were some things on it that you had to put in terms of nutrition, but grass-fed label doesn't got anything to do with the nutritional value. Well, it has to do with the quality of what's coming out of that which is grass-fed. But what do we need the government? Why can't we just put on the packages this beef, if that's what it is, or lamb or pork comes from animals that were grass-fed? End of story. What's the big deal?
Yeah, so the worry has been that there are companies and there are producers that have said they are grass-fed where they're only like 75%, 80% grass-fed. And they purport it to be, oh, we're grass-fed. Meanwhile, the farmers and producers who are, you know, doing bona fide 100% grass-fed have to compete with those guys who are undercutting them in the marketplace. You've got consumers who are confused. They say, okay, well, this says grass-fed. This one says grass-fed. Which is it? You know, we just think there needs to be some sort of shared meaning behind labels so that farmers have, you know, fair markets to sell into, and consumers know when they purchase a grass-fed product that it actually is grass-fed.
Well, that's a good point. You're making a good point in terms of some authority that'll certify that, yes, in fact, what they're saying is true. I can, you know, we've had, I mentioned the organic label, which the government is basically allowed to become bastardized, and it has no value really anymore. Most people want or respond to, at least from what I've been told in research, the natural label. That's what people are afraid. This is naturally grown, naturally harvested, and so I suppose we're going to ask the same question. Well, how do we know you can make any claim you want? That doesn't mean that it's done as the label suggested. So are we to assume that the government goes into everybody's farm or everybody's plant and says, oh, yeah, I see what you're doing, and gives it a stamp? Should we think that that's the case?
It's definitely not the case. And I know that, you know, this whole using the term natural on labels has been a bit of a issue. I know a lot of consumer watchdog groups have raised concerns that it means nothing. There's really nothing. There's no definition, no meaning. So when companies use the word natural, you really don't know what they're saying. There's no definition to it. There's some companies that, my understanding in the past, have even used natural on products that were made with genetically engineered, GMO products,
and they're
calling them natural. So, you know, it's really a bit of a, you know, it's confusing for consumers, and then it creates an unfair marketplace for those who are really creating, you know, what I would say is natural-raised products without hormones, organically raised, you know, in a sustainable manner.
Do you think the same thing applies to actually the label organic, which, as I said a few minutes ago, has been allowed to be really messed up by the government? It's too bad we didn't have some neutral watchdog group that had some teeth. That's what I, you know, I leave it all to the government, and the government's bought off by, in the case of milk, the Suiza family, Dean Foods. They can get anything they want, or certainly they did during the Bush years, and that's why we have the mess in the fluid milk business that we do, and farmers aren't getting paid for their work there because these guys have been able to amass such large contributions into the coffers of the politicians, and they've instructed bureaucrats to, okay, let's open the floodgates. Let Dean Foods control 74% of the fluid milk supply in the country, and the farmers get paid $15 a hundredweight, and they can't possibly do it for anything less than $21 or $22 a hundredweight, so they all go out of business. And then, we don't have enough milk in our country. We got to start shipping it in from New Zealand and Australia and China and Holland and wherever else we go because the farmers can't produce enough milk for our country and a situation that they have created.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you know, I'm not much of an expert on the dairy policy, so I can't say too much about that. But
leave it to me. I got plenty of experience there.
It sounds like it, and well, you know, from your background as an actual producer, of course you would.
Well, but, you know, anyway, it's go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the one thing that I can just say a little bit about is, you know, on the organic standard. And I think, you know, ideally, you know, really what would be the best world is one in which we all had our own farmer, just like we all have our own doctors, someone that, you know, we don't need a label to communicate information between us. We have that personal relationship.
What a great
idea. In the absence of it, I think, Yeah. And in the absence of it, I think the organic label has some value, but it also is, you know, it's concerning that, you know, there are interests that want to water it down and have been able to water down elements of it. And I think that speaks to why it's important to have organizations like the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition or the National Organic Coalition working, you know, hold people accountable to make sure that, okay, we want these labels to have some meaning.
Wes King is on The American Family Farmer with me, Doug Steffen.
Have you ever wondered what life would be like without diabetes? I'm Jerry Mathers. I was the Beaver on TV's Leave It to Beaver, and I used to be just like you. See, my doctor said I only had 3 to 5 years to live. That meant I wasn't going to see or hold my grandbabies. I knew I needed to do something about my diabetes and get healthy. I wish I had a plan all written out for me back then. Now there is one, a fast-track system called the Diabetes Solution Kit that can get your blood pressure and sugars under control. Some say it worked for them in just 30 days or less. Best of all, no drugs. It's easy to follow, too. If I can get my diabetes under control, you can, too. Here's how to get your copy of the Diabetes Solution Kit today.
If you'd like to normalize your blood sugar and stop taking your diabetes medication completely with your doctor's approval, go to diabetic11.com for your free video. That's diabetic11.com. Reverse your diabetes in as little as 30 days by going to diabetic11.com now.
Between 2008 and 2013, over 15% of reproductive-aged women in the U.S. filled a prescription for an antidepressant medication each year. That's why the March of Dimes is working with the CDC to raise awareness about the potential for birth defects from antidepressants and what women can do to protect their health and the health of their baby. Dr. Siobhan Dolan serves as a medical advisor to the March of Dimes.
Women experiencing depression and anxiety need treatment. We don't advocate anyone going off their medication, as this can have serious consequences. But the fact that antidepressants are used by such a large number of reproductive age women is a concern. We urge all women, especially those who are pregnant or are planning a pregnancy, to speak to their doctors about all their medications. Sometimes it's possible to switch to a different medication with a lower risk to babies or to another type of treatment, such as counseling.
To learn more, visit cdc.gov/treatingfortwo.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
A couple in Connecticut decided to let their kids walk home from school alone every day, like many of us did growing up. But nowadays, people are so worried about overprotecting children that somebody called the police, and the parents are now charged with a crime. But these parents are fighting back. They're part of a new movement called Free Range Parenting, an effort to raise future independent adults. We all want children to feel safe, but good citizenship also requires that they become self-reliant. Looking through the lens of liberty, we see that America only remains free if we all take responsibility for ourselves and our children, not rely on the government. Do we really want free-range chickens but cooped-up kids?
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
The savings are heating up at Lumber Liquidators' Spring Flooring Kickoff Sale. Our stores are now packed with the latest trends from our new catalog, like the hot look of gray flooring. This week, get 20% off reclaimed gray woodlook tile. And check out popular hand-scraped styles like High Sierra Pine. Or choose from other varieties of solid hardwood, all up to 20% off. Get great deals on over 35 styles of bamboo from $149 and more from just 49 cents. Plus, 18-month special financing for the best deals in over 400 floors. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you today.
With us now as we continue on The American Family Farmer this week, Wes King, who's a policy specialist at the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act moving through Congress right now, the associated farm-to-school aspects of this. We're engaging in this along with some of the other people. I know you're working with the National Farm to School Network to expand the existing Farm to School grant program. What is really the government play here, and what's the farmer play? What do we need to know to help in this, again, big government, making sure children in schools eat well? How much of an issue is this really, Wes?
Well, you, you know, for us, it's because the child nutrition reauthorization is one of these big topics right now here in Washington. And as an organization, you know, following through with our, you know, kind of our goal of trying to make sure small farmers and sustainable agriculture is part of the conversation and has a seat at the table, we've been trying to work to make sure that, you know, resources within that are going to small and family farms providing, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables for schools. And part of the way that some of that's gone on in the past is through this farm-to-school grant program. And we're just trying to make sure that that program is strengthened and continues to move forward as part of this so that, you know, there is money going to family farmers instead of just large farming interests.
Well, so
we just
want to
make sure that, you know, it helps.
Yeah,
who
gets this? How does bring us through some of this, if you don't mind? How does this money get to the farmer? How does federal money get to the farmers when it comes to producing food that goes to schools?
Well, you know, I can't get too much into the specifics of all the different ways it does, but for us, what we're the most interested in is there's a growing movement of communities and farmers that have said, you know, look, the school meals aren't the best. You know, there's not real food there. It's kind of processed cardboard food that's, you know, kids are getting served. As farmers in local communities, they've said, you know, we want to be part of this. We want to help to get our locally grown fruits and vegetables into the schools. And it's really been a bit of a challenge. It's hard for a small farmer to do that on his own. So he's really relied on local community partners, many of whom are members of the National Farm to School Network, to help build those connections. And we're trying to, this grant program has really helped to fund producer groups, agriculture organizations, and community groups to sit down and put together plans and work with farmers to make it so that they can overcome some of the barriers and get their product into the schools. It's only small right now in terms of what, you know, small family farmers are doing, but we see this as a growing opportunity and one that I know farmers are interested in meeting.
Well, we have to expand our markets for sure. I remember when I was a kid in school, it cost us a quarter for lunch. We'd get a quarter of a pint of milk. We'd get a meat. We'd get a vegetable. We'd get a carb, if you will. We might have some fruit if we're lucky, but it was canned, and you know, everybody thought, oh, that's great. Then it became more children's choice, pizza and all of that stuff, hamburgers, and then it's focused, at least the last 4 or 5 years, more. But there's a growing bureaucracy around this. At the state level, they have child nutrition specialists, and the federal government, the USDA, has child nutrition specialists, and they go study lunches. Come on. I mean, there's common sense here. You got a guy down the street who's growing great vegetables, so you go to his place and you make sure you buy your vegetables from him. And I mean, there's a certain amount of common sense that seems to be lacking here. Would you agree, Wes?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that's unfortunate about a lot of these schools is not only are they, you know, lacking in that area of common sense, but they don't even have cooking equipment anymore to cook from scratch food. So a lot of these groups that are working with farmers and schools are trying to get the schools to go back to actually cooking food instead of just heat and serve.
Well, and you know, what they've got these steam. They've got these big cooking. I saw a truck the other day in Los Angeles, Los Angeles County School System. And it's a truck that brings meals that have been prepared in a huge kitchen someplace, and they distribute them all around the city to schools, and they put them in, and they keep them in steam tanks, or somehow or other they keep them warm, but they certainly aren't being, as you've suggested, they aren't being prepared there at all. And,
right.
You know, so that's one of the things that we really ought to be thinking about. I mean, this thing has gotten sort of, what happened to kids bringing their lunch to school in a bag? That's another thing. It's a throwback. And then there's the specialist who focuses on allergies, and you can't bring peanut butter to school anymore because some kid might have an allergy to it and that sort of thing. It's a different day. We'll continue and actually finish our conversation with Wes King in a matter of moments from the National Sustainable Agricultural Coalition here on this week's American Family Farmer.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad. But boy, was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the city you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Doug Steffen here, the American Family Farmer, this week with a focus on the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. You know, when you were describing what was going on in these meetings between various interest groups to get the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act going, I was wondering if you'd mind sharing some of the meetings themselves. What goes on in these meetings? What, I mean, is it informal? Is it formal? Do you have a good time? Do you really get to the issues? Is there a lot of puffery? Take us inside to one of these meetings, will you?
Yeah, so it's a little of all of the above. You know, sometimes they're more informal, sometimes they're less, or they're more formal. Generally, they're pretty boring and wonky. You know,
really?
not a lot of colorful language. Often using, you know, really insider terms, a lot of acronyms. It's really one of the, you know, the things that I think where it's important for an organization like the Sustainable Agriculture Coalition to be involved is to have people who are kind of, I don't know, living and breathing this every day.
Right.
So
yeah.
When you go to these meetings, you can actually understand what folks are talking about when they throw out a long chain of acronyms and refer back to X happening or Y happening. You know, there's something that, you know, unfortunately, it's a barrier to, you know, farmers and others from the grassroots in getting involved in some of these things, is that there's such a barrier to entry in terms of a learning curve.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's take as a final example of that the Food Safety Modernization Act. This is something that's been a big deal for farmers and local food entrepreneurs across the country. First one, it was in the legislative process, then the rulemaking. I remember as a dairy farmer how really bent out of shape I got when I looked at some of these rules and thought, how dare they? Who the hell do these people think they are? The problem is never the small family farmer anyway. It's always the big producers who are causing the problems of listeria and E. coli and whatever other problems there are, salmonella. These bags of spinach that are prepared who knows where, washed who knows how, and there's something left over on them. So people then start criticizing the entire agricultural industry when, in fact, these big guys are the ones. And yet with the Food Safety Modernization Act, they're taking they're focusing on the small family farmer, and it's outrageous. So if you wouldn't mind speaking to this a bit in detail, that'd be great in the time we have left.
Yeah, sure. You know, for the most part, I totally agree with you, what you said. You know, the only small nuance I would add is that, you know, I don't know if they've necessarily targeted the family farmers and small farmers in this, but the rules that they've created have been geared towards the large operations, which are not the same as small operations. You know, we think very strongly about the added food safety benefits from coming from small supply chains. When you've got farmers who live nearby you that you get to look in the face every day, or you know them because they're part of your community, that's some of the best food safety assurances you can get. You don't need a whole major suite of rules and regulations to produce food safety when you've got those personal relationships. But beyond that, you know, one of the things that we're, you know, we've been really trying to work hard at making sure that there is, you know, some risk and scale appropriate aspects, not a one size fits all approach to these rules and regulations. And we were able to, you know, win some positive gains through the rulemaking process, through the legislative process. It made it better. Still, it's going to be a huge, huge issue for small and medium sized farms. Particularly, you know, there's a lot of questions about, you know, how they're going to be able to comply with all these regulations around water testing and for their washing and irrigation water. But there's also some, we've got some concerns about things that might, even though they're not supposed to be able to require audits, third-party audits of farmers, food safety audits from these companies that will come in and say you're safe, but then, you know, these same companies say farms are safe, and these big farms are the ones then that have the problems. So we're worried about these food safety audits, and then just really worried about the ability of the FDA to get out there and work with farmers and get this information out there. There's a lot of question marks, a lot of wondering, okay, well, how is this going to work? How is it going to actually be implemented?
Yeah, you have to wonder what through the legislative process, how anybody could be so duped into thinking that this was a good idea. All it is putting the family farmers who are on the edge anyway. Most farmers are right on the edge economically, and they look at this, they say, all right, screw it, I'm not going to do it. And that's the end of that family farm, and it becomes a development. It's just the same circle and cycle going round and round, and the farmers understand it, but do the public understand it? That's why we're sort of underscoring it. Locavores, pay attention to this, if you will. Wes, thanks very much for your time. Wes King, policy specialist from the National Sustainable Agricultural Coalition, with lots of great information on this week's American Family Farmer.
Haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese, featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.